Marriage is supposed to be for life.
Some say a good marriage is made in heaven.
I'm leaving you.
These marriages were made somewhere else.
My husband has killed himself!
For better or worse.
I asked her, I said, what happened? She didn't comment. She just shrugged her shoulders like that.
For richer or poorer.
Margaret thought she was about to inherit 60% of that $12 million.
You knew what to do?
But when love turns to hate.
She was the mastermind behind all of this. She had planned for all this to take place.
Some women will do anything to get out of an inconvenient marriage. July 1992. On a multi-million dollar farm in Knoxville, Tennessee, a wealthy family prepares for the worst. Ed Dossett, the respected local assistant district attorney, is terminally ill.
Ed Dossett was receiving treatment. He was dying of colon cancer.
His wife, Rainella, a nurse, is caring for him. They've had 20 privileged and prosperous years together.
Hi.
They had a huge farm that Ed had inherited from his family.
Thank God you're here.
And he was certainly in an enviable position of power and influence.
She's going crazy fussing over me.
And as his wife, so was Rainella.
She's drawing a line, one come near my head.
Well, there ain't much to cut now, is there?
Ed's death is a slow one.
It's better to leave it to an expert anyhow.
Oh, well, I
But Rainella has support, including their neighbor, town barber, David Leith.
A little off the top.
Easy going, laid back sort of person. He'd help anyone. That was the kind of person he was.
When Ed Dossett finally dies, Rainella and David's relationship becomes more.
Hi, honey.
I'm here.
I got you, niece. So, what would you like to do tonight? Another carriage ride?
He was very romantic.
Horses in a jiffy.
Every Thursday, he gave her a red rose.
It's Thursday?
Because that's what he did on the first night they went out.
Thursday is my favorite day of the week.
Everyone is delighted with the union, including David's daughter, Cindy.
Everything was just great. I mean, they were both happy.
They marry and settle down for a life together on the farm. Until Rainella gets a phone call.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Yes, of course, I want to know more. It's just that it's such a shock.
She found out her first husband, Ed Dossett, had actually had another son with another woman.
Thank you. Please stay in touch.
Ed had an affair with his secretary.
Ed, you bastard!
White with rage. Rainella's revenge will be to shoot
Hello,
the messenger.
Hello?
I should kill you. And that woman!
That is the strangest response I've ever heard of when a woman found out that her husband had fathered another child.
The messenger is the husband of Ed's lover.
He's laying there helpless, and she comes up and said,
"This time I won't miss."
She pulls the trigger.
I used to be a better shot.
And it clicks. Nothing left in the gun. The ammunition is spent.
Joey.
Raynella should be charged with attempted murder. But with friends in high places, she gets off lightly.
Here is where Raynella's influence and privilege in the community came to bear. She worked a deal.
She pled guilty to the charge of aggravated assault, and it was passed for a period of 6 or so years on good behavior.
David stands by his wife throughout the legal ordeal.
Oh, hey, you know, David.
But it changes Raynella. She is now a suspicious and controlling woman.
Are you ready for yours?
I'll have a stay.
She was keeping awful close tabs on him. She wanted to know, where's my boy? And I said, well, I don't know where he's at. She said, well, he left and he's out running around. I thought he might be over there.
Well, he'll have the fish. But you better make it steamed with steamed vegetable and no fries. I'll have the steak rare. Thank you.
Raynella just totally discounted anything David wanted.
Well, I just love fish, honey. Thank you.
She wanted to be the one in control.
Raynella's control now extends to their money. She's brought millions into the marriage.
You want to make me happy, right?
She wanted to make sure she held on to all that property.
Well, sign here and make me the happiest woman in the county.
She insists David signs a new will. He is no longer entitled to a cent.
I don't think David really understood the ramifications of what he was doing when the will was written, because basically he disinherited his daughter.
When she wants something, she seems to know how to get it.
No one suspects this is only stage one of Raynella's plans. Raynella Dossett Leith has assets worth $18 million.
Raynella, why do you need these guns for?
Well, it's a farm, isn't it? Not that you'd know.
She wants to protect them from David, her second husband.
Papa always said you've got to protect what's yours.
After finding out her first husband has an illegitimate child, she thinks all men are cheats. David's been forced to bear the brunt of Raynella's fury. On the morning of March 13th, 2003, David can take no more.
Police?
I couldn't believe it. I was just totally shocked. Because I knew that my dad, he couldn't commit suicide. I mean, he was too prideful.
When the police arrived on the scene, they initially thought that it was a suicide. But a few things started not to add up for that. Those being the fact that it was a three-shot suicide.
Forensic pathologist Janice Amatuzio knows that taking three shots to kill yourself is very unusual.
The first shot went into the headboard, missed him entirely. The second shot went in above the level of the left eye and then went downward and to the right so that it actually struck the brain stem. Once the brain stem is severed or damaged, all of the motor tracts would have been severed or damaged as well. This individual could not have made any meaningful movement. The third gunshot apparently just went into the mattress, went through that and the box spring into the floor underneath.
The third and final shot confirms that David's suicide is a virtual impossibility.
How does a man who's already dead from a severed spinal cord shoot a gun again?
Suspicions turn quickly to Rainella. She's got a history of shooting at men. Also suspicious are the surgical sedatives found in David's bloodstream. Hours before he died, David was incapacitated. For police, it's the final piece of the jigsaw.
There was a combination of three drugs in his system: Demerol, Phenergrin, and Doxepine. He was given it sometime the night before, and that morning he would still have been in a groggy state.
Should he have heard anything, he wouldn't have been able to take any meaningful action to take himself out of harm's way.
Third shot was fired for one reason only: to wrap David's hand around that gun so he would have gunshot residue on his hand.
Rainella really screwed up.
Rainella is charged with her husband's murder. But her callous crime gets prosecutors thinking. What really happened to her first husband, District Attorney General Ed Dossett? They re-examine Ed's autopsy results.
The toxicology report revealed he had massively high doses of morphine in his system when he died.
Rainella was a nurse. She knew how to do that. She knew how much drugs he would need to die.
But only one murder conviction is needed to lock Rainella away. She's found guilty of the first-degree murder of David Leith.
My dad, he was a good guy. He was happy-go-lucky. Everybody liked him. I never got to, say goodbye.
Raynella Dossett Leith is serving a life sentence in the Woman's State Prison in Nashville.
Raynella is a greedy sociopath who cares more for the almighty dollar than she did the life of her husband's. Is Raynella dangerous? Absolutely.
Is not always made in heaven.
She married several times, badly divorced each time.
When the bond between husband and wife is broken,
Margaret wanted revenge.
A wife scorned becomes a deadly woman.
It sure does make the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Las Vegas, 1987. The high life is fading for one couple. Multi-millionaire, real estate property developer Ron Rudin is on his second bottle and fifth wife.
It's not like I'm spending money willy-nilly. I have some really lovely pieces, and they're quite valuable.
Margaret Rudin is on her fifth husband, and things aren't going well.
Over the years that they were together, they had many quarrels and almost complete breakups.
You don't even take that chap seriously, Margaret, so why are we talking?
She had been warned by a previous wife of Ron's that he was a womanizer and a heavy drinker, and Margaret went ahead and married him anyway.
What is the point? You don't care about anything I do.
Ron's drinking, affairs, and obsession with guns is not what Margaret signed up for.
You don't care about me. All you care about is these stupid guns.
Ron and Margaret's marriage, the fifth for each of them, was headed nowhere fast.
Margaret wants it all to end, and quickly. But at the same time, she doesn't want to kill her golden goose. With every new woman comes a new level of resentment.
Yeah. You are beautiful.
Margaret found out that Ron was having an affair with a woman named Sue.
Oh, I would really love to take you to bed.
Margaret has a real rage going on inside, and that rage came out.
Most women at this point would have left and filed for divorce. Not Margaret.
Margaret knows from personal experience the financial pitfalls of divorce.
Why didn't Margaret divorce Ron and try to win some money? She had tried that four times before her previous husband was as rich as Ron was. And each time, she came out the loser.
Margaret Rudin does not want to lose again.
I love you, honey.
Is that right? Tell me again how much you love me. While the woman you were talking to on the phone just tells you she's a 9 in bed!
No, I can explain.
You are degrading me, my love, by lying about me!
Take it easy.
Margaret wanted revenge. Margaret was a very jealous person.
Shaking with fury, she misses.
What are you, crazy?
It was a very, very violent confrontation.
Next time, Margaret won't miss. 51-year-old Margaret Rudin is on her 5th marriage, and like all those before, it's not going well. Her husband, Ron, is a heavy drinker and is having extramarital affairs. Margaret has already tried to shoot him and failed. Now she's targeting the other woman, Sue.
Your wife said these to me.
What are you talking about?
She sent these anonymous, profane letters to Sue's family.
Now, this is unbelievable. No.
Sue and Ron were alleged in this letter to having sexual affairs inside these empty homes that Ron Rudin owned or that were being refurbished.
Having sex on dirty carpets.
It was a really outrageous step.
She's gone too far this time. I'm gonna leave her.
It's a decision that Ron will regret. December 18th, 1994. Like many nights, Ron is in the marital bed alone.
The first time Margaret tried to kill her husband, he disarmed her. The second time, she'd learned her lesson. She waited till he went to sleep.
With a .22 caliber handgun, Margaret shot him 5 times in the head.
Margaret cared about one person and one person only, and that was Margaret Rudin.
But Margaret isn't finished with her husband. She's just beginning a bloody slaughter.
She decapitated him by herself. This is not something that we usually see a woman do. Margaret was special.
Margaret needs to make it appear her husband has left her. She disposes of his body in the Mojave Desert.
This crime of particular violence, it is really above and beyond your usual murder.
I think Margaret killed Ron for 2 reasons. One, he made her angry. And two, he had lots of money.
Margaret believes she's about to inherit millions. But even in death, Ron's one step ahead.
Ron was suspicious of Margaret.
I'm telling you, Margaret.
Very worried that his life was in danger, and he even amended his will.
So I want to put down in my will that if I die of anything other than natural causes, then that death is to be taken as suspicious.
It ordered to use his money to find out who had committed the crime.
And the person responsible is to be cut right out of the will. There is no way they're going to get their hands on my money.
And so this document really changed everything.
Make up a draft of that and run it by me?
Certainly, Mr. Rubin.
It isolated all of these potential beneficiaries from gaining any assets of Ron's until that investigation was completed.
For Margaret, so much effort for so little gain. She's locked out of the millions, and police are on a manhunt.
When a wealthy married man goes missing, the very first person the police should be looking at is the wife.
Two years later, 30 miles from Las Vegas in Lake Mead, a scuba diver makes a chance find. A gun.
When the gun was discovered and it was matched up as Ron's and the ballistics were accurate, we were like, where's Margaret? Let's go find her.
But Margaret gets the jump and is on the run. For the next 2 years, she moves from place to place. Until she slips up one more time.
The way they finally found her was through Christmas presents that Margaret had mailed to a post office drop.
Pizza.
And the return address was traced back to a town in Massachusetts.
Hi there.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you.
Keep the change.
Lovely.
The police move in.
Who answers the door but a woman we've been looking for years, Margaret Rudin.
Police, open up.
Margaret just stared at us. She just stared at us and just had this cold look. She just had no emotion whatsoever.
...58-year-old Margaret Rudin is convicted of murder using a deadly weapon. She is sentenced to a minimum of 20 years in a Nevada jail.
At her age, that was tantamount to a death sentence. There are other remedies to a bad marriage than being shot in the head multiple times, chopped up and set on fire.
This was the least remorseful woman that we've ever encountered.
When a wife is unfaithful,
she wanted everything for herself.
I'm leaving.
Relationships.
I can't live like this anymore.
Are destroyed.
She was the mastermind. She was the one telling them what to do.
And there are casualties.
Don't let him know this, Toby.
Sometimes fatal.
She has no regard for human life.
...1997, Bridgeville, Delaware.
You're late.
I had to work back and then do the shopping. You gonna
A 20-year marriage hits rock bottom.
Well, you can't expect me to sit around here all day watching
an endless struggle to make ends meet.
You're hopeless, John.
Takes its toll.
Vindaloo, you have got to stop hitting me.
There was a lot of arguments, a lot of conflict between Linda Lou Charbonneau and John Charbonneau. And I think it was over silly, petty things.
Linda Lou Charbonneau has had enough of life with husband John. His heart condition means he can't work.
Really, the only income for the household was the Social Security that John Charbonneau was receiving.
Linda Lou wants a better life and doesn't look far.
Hey, honey. Oh, look who's come to visit us. Huh? It's Billy.
Oh, hi there, Billy.
Hey, Linda.
Oh,
she turns her attention to her husband's nephew, Billy Sprotes.
Yeah, sure.
My, your hair is grown. Really suits you like that.
Billy Sprotes was in love with Linda Charbonneau.
You should come around more often.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Linda Lou shocks her family by moving in with Billy, who's 10 years younger.
But I don't think Linda Lou Charbonneau actually loved Billy Sprotes. I think Linda Lou Charbonneau used Billy Sprotes for her own gain.
But like his uncle, Billy doesn't have a job. And his lack of means soon turns his new wife against him.
This isn't working, Billy. The electricity is out again. I can't believe...
But then she realized maybe that wasn't so much better after all.
I can't do this anymore.
They couldn't even pay the electric bill.
Money. At least when I was with John, there was regular money coming in. But here, nothing. No. It's over. I'm going back to John.
She was just very cold, and she wanted everything for herself.
Incredibly, her first husband takes her back with few questions.
I don't think Linda was particularly capable of love, but he did offer her something she needed. His money.
Linda Lou never wants to lose his Social Security again. She has a plan. She convinces her daughter Melissa and her boyfriend Willie Brown to help.
I think she was brainwashed by Linda Lou Charbonneau, her mother. Basically, she would do anything that she asked her to do. They were very close.
September 23rd, 2001. Melissa proves her loyalty to her mother.
Two things strike me as unusual about a mother eliciting her daughter's help to kill her husband. Number one, that mom felt okay in asking. And number two, that the daughter felt okay in helping.
Please help me.
This was not a normal family.
Terrified and barely conscious, John's ordeal is only beginning. September 23rd, 2001, Bridgeville, Delaware. Linda Liu has orchestrated the murder of her first husband, but is keeping her hands clean for now.
Please, don't do this. You're not gonna let him do this to me.
He was alive, and he was just actually begging for his life.
Melissa and her boyfriend, Willie Brown, finish off her stepfather.
Melissa was sitting in the car listening to country music.
With a regular money flow coming in, Linda Liu runs back to husband Billy.
Hold on, Ray. Oh, Billy, can you take that box out for us?
Why does this box got blood all over it?
During the move, that's how.
But with his uncle missing, Billy is suspicious.
He discovered a box that was had a significant amount of blood on it, and he kept asking questions about it.
Cut her leg. When?
Keep your mouth shut about the box.
Billy decides to share his suspicions with the police.
I'm concerned about my uncle, John Charbonneau.
John Charbonneau?
As I haven't been able to reach him for at least 2 weeks.
Why are you so worried for him?
Well,
in the back of his mind, I think he was suspicious that his Uncle John had met with foul play.
I'm concerned something may have happened to him.
Okay,
That was the time that Linda Charbonneau decided something needed to be done about Billy because he was asking too many questions. And she thought, you know, he was getting too close.
She's getting too close.
Linda didn't have much of an education. What she did know was people.
I'll phone him. I'll ask him to meet me at his house.
And how to manipulate them.
You know what to do?
She was a scholar at that.
October 17th, 2001. Linda Liu strikes again.
She was the mastermind. She was the one telling them what to do.
Hey, Linda, you here?
She put him in a trap, essentially.
He was beaten with a wooden handle that had D batteries taped to the outside of it. There was a lot of blunt force trauma to the head and stab wounds also.
Linda is a cold, heartless person. She has no regard for human life.
Billy Sprouts was not dead at the time that he was buried. He was actually buried alive.
Linda Liu thinks she solved both her problems.
Don't worry, you won't be able to get out from under there.
but she hasn't counted on the police. They now have two missing persons, and the common link is Linda Liu. It's not long before they flush out the truth.
The daughter ratted out her mom.
Willie Brown also admits his involvement and leads police to the grave of John Charbonneau.
Willie Brown, during his interview, basically said that he killed John Charbonneau at the request of Linda Liu.
Boyfriend Willie Brown gets two life sentences with no chance of parole. Linda Liu's daughter, Melissa, is also found guilty and sentenced to 25 years.
Melissa explained that she had a role in it as well, but it was her mom who was telling them what to do, how to carry it out. She's the one who lured her husbands to their death.
In May 2007, Linda Liu pleads guilty to second-degree murder. She is sentenced to a maximum of 20 years in the Women's Correctional Institute, Delaware.
How lacking can a woman's life be that killing two people just to secure about $1,000 a month Social Security check was worth the murders?
Linda Liu Charbonneau is eligible for parole in 2017.
Linda Charbonneau may be out of prison in a few years. She could be your neighbor. She could be your babysitter. She could be your girlfriend. Just make sure she doesn't become your wife.
These deadly women made a mockery of Till Death Do Us Part. Raynella Dossett Leith killed her gentle partner to protect her millions. Margaret Rudin dismembered her rich husband rather than face another divorce. And Linda Liu Charbonneau made murder a family affair for a few $100 a month. For these deadly women, money was their first love. Murder was their escape from an inconvenient marriage.